Last week, we began a two-part series that we have titled Mission Essentials. And in these messages, we are focusing on some of the essential characteristics that we need as a church if we're going to be successful in fulfilling the Great Commission. I think it's good occasionally for us to kind of recenter ourselves, if you will, and be reminded of why we're here. Why we exist as a church, why any church exists for that matter, what we are called to do in the world, and what our work is all about. So let's take a minute to review from last week. The mission, we find it in several passages, but two that we looked at, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we have an imperative in that verse, and that is to make disciples. That's what we're to be about, making disciples, bringing people to faith in Christ, preaching the gospel, calling them to faith in Christ, and then building them up in their faith. That's the teaching them all that I have commanded you part. And then in Acts 1, 8, and 9, we have it written this way. Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he ascends into heaven, and he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And so Jesus told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, "You are going to be my witnesses. That's what you're supposed to be doing until I come back again." So that's our mission. That's the main thing we are to be doing until Jesus returns. And we say it this way, is the way we articulate the mission, to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. And see that three parts. We make disciples, that is leading them to Christ, preaching the gospel, calling them to faith in Christ. Maturing disciples, that's building them up in their faith, helping them to come to maturity in Jesus Christ. That's the teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you part. And then multiplying disciples or multiplying followers of Jesus Christ, that simply means we do it again and again and again and again and over and over and over and over. And really, we're supposed to do it until we die, right? And we're supposed to do it until Jesus comes. And so there's no end until the Lord returns. That's what we are to be doing. And so our mission is clear and our mission is focused. It's evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. Evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. And the part of discipling the believer is a lifelong and continuous task which involves many dimensions. Again, it's the part of the Great Commission where Jesus said, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And when you take that little simple phrase, it's simple to say, right? Teaching them to love and obey Jesus, but there is so much involved there. Just to give you an idea, this is not a complete list, but let me give you an idea of what learning to love and obey Jesus looks like. It includes things like loving one another. Right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but we've already mentioned that. It means forgiving one another, right? Did Jesus teach us to forgive one another? Absolutely. It means worshiping God. Means learning how to, and actually doing it, worshiping God, learning how to do that, serving God. Jesus taught us to serve Him, to serve God, and we need to learn how to do that. It involves husbands loving wives and children obeying parents. It involves us learning how to walk in the Spirit every day of our lives. It involves learning how to pray, how to evangelize people who don't know Jesus, and how to, as we talked this morning already with the deacon team, how to take care of those within the body. And it's more than even just what the deacons do. It involves counseling and comforting and encouraging and walking through crises with people. That's all part of it. And so when we talk about the Great Commission, the error I want us to avoid is to think it's only about evangelism. It's not. That's a big part of it. And we need to be reaching out into our community, and we need to be actively and strategically thinking about how we are going to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. But that other phrase in there, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, That's the maturing part. That's the part where we continue to grow as disciples of Jesus and learn how to do what he has commanded us to do in his word. And so the part of the mission, of course, then is making disciples and teaching, helping, and encouraging one another to know, live, and obey the words of Scripture. That's done on many levels. We're doing that right now. It's done as we preach the word on Sunday mornings. It's done when, you know, some of you might be meeting with someone in a coffee shop for a one-on-one meeting, and you read some scripture together, you're going through a study together. That's part of it. It's the visitor in the hospital room when someone is going through a life crisis. That's part of it. That's all part of it in obeying the things Jesus taught us in his word. Last week we talked about two characteristics that we must have as a church if we're going to be successful. Two of the essentials. One of the essentials was that we must have a belief to die for. And we talked about that at quite length. What we believe as Christians is so serious and so important that we must hold our belief with conviction so great that we would be willing to die for what we believe, and many have through the ages. And that's why you and I are saved today, because the gospel has been preached and brought to the all parts of the world, in spite of the fact that it costs people their lives. Jesus died to make our faith possible, right? He died on the cross. Many of the apostles died, were martyred as a result of spreading the gospel. Many Christians through the ages have been persecuted to the point of death for their faith. And in all likelihood, we said last week, you and I will never be persecuted to that extent. We will probably never lose our lives for our faith in Christ here in America. But are we willing to make the lesser sacrifices? If we have a faith to die for, are we willing to die to self in many of the areas that we need to in order to make the Great Commission successful, in order to win people to Jesus and in order to build them up in their faith? Are we willing to make those lesser sacrifices? The second thing we said is we must have a conviction that God's word changes lives. And really, I mean, that's all we've got, right? I mean, we've got the word of God. That's what he has left us with. That's what we cling to. That's what defines our faith and tells us how to live. And so if we're going to proclaim the gospel with boldness and conviction, and if we're going to teach the word of God without compromise, we must hold the conviction that it is the word of God that God uses to change the lives of those who hear it. So what are some of the other essentials if we're going to be successful in carrying out the mission? Well, we're going to look at three more today. The first one is that we must be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the mission. And this is really just kind of looking at another level of having a faith to die for, right? Like I said, we're never going to probably have to die for our faith, but we must be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the mission. Our mission is a big one. The world population is currently about 7.5 billion people. I mean, can you even get your head around a number like a billion? I mean, what does a billion of anything look like? Well, we got about 7.5 billion people on the earth, and it grows by over 100,000 people per day. And that's just one segment in time, right? When we're all dead and gone, when everyone that's alive on the planet now is dead and gone, there'll be another 7+ billion people on the earth. Right? And there were many millions before us. And so when we think about the Great Commission, it's a big task. Our backyard, Colorado Springs, has about 500,000 people in it. That's a lot of people. Now, obviously, we're not the only church in town. And that's a good thing. There are lots of churches in town, and there are lots of Christians in town. And we're all here by God's design, by God's sovereignty, so that together, as we, as God has planted us in various parts of town and with various personalities and you know, little differences of nuances within the congregations, we will be able to reach many people in the city. But we have our part to do. So obviously we're not going to reach 500,000 people, but we need to reach a lot of them. These are the people we are called to reach. And God has placed us here. And this is what we have to remember as a people of God. God has placed our church here. When I say our church, I don't mean this building on this corner. God has placed this congregation here in Colorado Springs, and we happen to be meeting on this corner for just a little while yet until we move up the street, right? And we happen to be meeting on this corner not because some, you know, goofy happenstance occurred and all of a sudden, wow, there's a church. No. We're here because God in His sovereignty and His wisdom and His grand design for the church said, I want this congregation of people here for this time to do the work of the Great Commission in their city. That's why we're here. And we need to remember that. So these are the people we're called to reach, the city and beyond, because as we do what we're called to do as a congregation, what will happen is just like what happened in the early church. Set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, and they got sent out. And so from here, people get sent out. And they get sent out as missionaries to go to parts of the world you and I will never go to. But our task, our mission, our work, our job, whatever you want to call it, is the Great Commission. And it is to reach people for Christ and help them to grow in our faith. And we don't have forever to reach them. We have one lifetime, right? You and I have one lifetime to reach the people that need to hear the gospel. Because every living person on the face of the earth has only one lifetime. You might say, well, you know, I mean, we got a long time maybe till Jesus comes. Well, let's assume Jesus doesn't come for another 500 years, and maybe that's what you're thinking. And you say, well, there's lots of time, and the people that come after us can do the work. Well, they're going to do the work in their generation, but our generation will be dead and gone. Who's going to reach the people that are alive now? You and I that know Jesus that are alive now. This is our generation. This is the people we are called to reach. So our mission is time sensitive. And that's why the Bible says things like this, Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Boy, are they evil. Man. And so what do we need to be doing? Making the most of our time. What does that mean? That means do as much as we can with the time that we have. And he's not talking about, you know, get as much leaf raking as you can. The fall is here. The leaves are falling. Get as much leaf raking done as you can. No, he's talking about the work of God in the world. Making the most of your time, doing as much as you can because the days are evil. And then Colossians 4:5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Outsiders are people outside the family of God. That's not a derogatory term. It's simply saying that they're not part of the church. They're not part of the Christian family. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward those people, making the most of the opportunity. That means you and I, as we go out every week, and we ought to have signs over all our exit doors that say you are now entering the mission field, because that's what you're doing. As we go out every week, what we need to be doing is making the most of the opportunities that God gives us to engage with people as we go through life. Does God give us opportunities to do that? Absolutely, He does. Absolutely, He does. We have to be open to them. We have to be looking for them. We have to be sensitive to them. Now, I say all that to bring us to this point. We're not going to reach the lost with a laid-back, non-committal, easy-as-she-goes approach, right? We're not going to get this job done if we just kind of kick back in our chairs, you know, get a great big glass of iced tea, put our feet up and say, life is good. Yeah, no hurry. Let's relax a little. We're not going to get it done that way. If we're going to reach every person that we're called to reach, even a portion of the people in our backyard, we are going to have to continue to work hard and sacrifice for it. When we look at the New Testament church, we see a people of God who willingly made sacrifices in order to carry out their God-given mission. We already talked about those who made the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. Think about the sacrifices made by missionaries who leave the comfort of their homes, who leave the comfort of their country and their families to go overseas to depend on someone else for their income. Do you understand? Most of us don't understand that, right? Most of us don't get that. We give to missionaries, and the church has a missions budget, and we give to missionaries, but I think most of us don't get what it means to be dependent on someone sending $50 a month to your account at a mission board to make sure you have groceries on the table. That's a sacrifice missionaries make. And they have to go around and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go and I'm going to preach the gospel, you know, in India or something. And as I do, would you partner with me? And we get to decide if we want to do that. But they have to depend on that. That's not easy. And they often subject themselves to the absence of normal creaturely comforts. You know, they leave a lot of stuff behind. And yeah, I mean, some of them go to very, modern European countries. Others go to third world countries where they might sleep in a home that looks just like the home of the people that they're ministering to. Maybe it's a grass hut or a shack of some sort. Maybe it has a dirt floor. But they're giving up. They're making sacrifices to go and to do that. The apostles dropped everything they were doing to follow Christ. And in fact, in Matthew 4:19 and 20, we have recorded, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. You know what that means? That means they didn't just drop their nets and say, we'll be back later today. They left their businesses. They said, okay, we're going to put that on hold. And we're going to follow you, Jesus. We're wherever you take us, whatever you want us to do, we're yours. And that's what that means. And Jesus said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Right? And followers fish. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a fisher of men. That's what we're called to do. That's the Great Commission. That's just another way, a metaphor Jesus used. Fishers of men. We're called to go out and to fish, to call people to faith in Christ. Others sacrifice possessions. Acts 4:36-37. Then thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do you see what he's sacrificing? I mean, that was a piece of land that he probably bought for an investment somewhere back in time. And now this thing called the church has gotten started and people are coming to faith in Christ and the apostles need support. And the Christians who were coming in, they were suffering at that time and many of them were poor and the apostles were trying to help and to distribute money and food and to help people. And this guy comes along and he says, I'll make a sacrifice. I'm going to sell a piece of my. I'm going to sell a land, a piece of land. I have a piece of property, and here I'm going to give it to the work of the church. That was a sacrifice that was made. Others gave sacrificially. That is, they gave even though they themselves didn't have a lot to give. We read about such sacrifice in Philippians 4:15-20. Let me read that for you. Paul says to the Philippians, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, in other words, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, he says, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. He's saying to the Philippian church, when I first started out, you guys gave so I could be a missionary. You guys gave so I could leave what I was doing and go preach the gospel. Then he says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory and forever and ever. Amen. There's a whole sermon in that passage, but let me just point a couple things out. Notice they gave, in verse 16, they gave their money to support the work of the gospel. Do we have to give money to support the work of the gospel? Yes, because we can't function as a church, as a body. We can't own a building and turn on lights and support missionaries and have strategic funds to do strategic things in the community unless people are giving. And the Philippians gave. They gave, you'll notice also in verse 17, that giving to the Lord somehow profits us back. He says, not that I seek it for my own benefit, but the profit that will come to your account. Now, this isn't like, okay, you know, like these guys on TV, you send me $1,000 and, you know, you'll get a $10,000 check in the mail next week. That's not what he's talking about. But somehow, when we give to the Lord blesses us back. It might not be financially. It might be something else in some other way. But we're blessed when we give. Somehow it profits to our account. They gave sacrificially, verse 18. And that is, Paul makes it very clear. You gave an acceptable sacrifice. That means they weren't rolling in dough. They weren't billionaires who had all kinds. Oh yeah, if I give $1 million, that really, I'll never even miss it. Right? There are people like that. They can give and they say, yeah, I'll never miss it. But what about the people that give sacrificially? They do miss it, and they could have kept it, and they could have used it for their own, but they give it. The Philippians did that. And then we learn that we shouldn't be afraid to give sacrificially because, verse 19, our God will supply all of our needs. So do we really care about the mission, or do we just want a nice church to attend? And that's a good question. Does it bother us that a couple hundred thousand people in our own backyard are lost and need to hear and believe the gospel? And if we don't go and tell them, who will? We must be willing to sacrifice for the Lord and for the mission he has given us. We need to be willing to sacrifice money, time, talent, service, energy. And listen, we can't all give in the same way. I mean, I understand that. We're not all able to give the same way or the same amounts, whatever the gift might be. And we don't all have the same capacities to give. And no one can tell us exactly what sacrifices any particular individual should make. That's between you and God. But we should all give. And we should all make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. Maybe it's your time on Wednesday night to come and pray. And maybe you think, you know, when we make these announcements about prayer meeting, and you say, yeah, well, you know, but my boy, I don't know what's on for Wednesday night. Maybe your favorite show is on Wednesday night. You say, you know, if I were to go to prayer meeting, I have to sacrifice watching my favorite show. Boy, what a sacrifice. What a trade-off, huh? Favorite show, the God of heaven to work in our world. Maybe the sacrifice is a few hours a week of your time during the week to study for a Sunday school lesson, to come on Sunday morning and to go and to teach a Sunday school class, whether it's one of the little ones or an adult class, so that the church can be taught the word and matured in their faith. That's a sacrifice, right? Because we ask people, you willing to be a Sunday school teacher? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't really have the time. That's a big deal in our society today, time, right? Because we're all stretched to the max with time. Everybody, you talk to anybody, oh man, time. Oh yeah, time. I don't have the time. I'm so busy. That's why it's a sacrifice. And that's why we need to see it as valuable enough to sacrifice our time so that the mission can get done. Maybe it's your financial help, gifts to help build a new church. Yeah, we're going to need money to build a new church. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with talking about money. Jesus talked a lot about money. The Bible talks a lot about money. And we give money in order to help get the work done. And so, yes, to move up to our new corner up there, half a mile up the road, we are going to need people to sacrifice and to give money to make that possible. Maybe it's your schedule that you need to sacrifice a piece out of your schedule to meet one-on-one with a new believer or another believer, and you're going to help each other grow in that one-on-one discipleship relationship. Is that a sacrifice? Absolutely. I can't tell you what you should be doing, but I can tell you that you should be doing something because the Great Commission will be fulfilled as we are willing to make sacrifices to accomplish it. Number two, we must be committed to love one another unconditionally. We must be committed to love one another unconditionally. And I think I'm going to make a decision on the spot. My time is running short. We have two more essentials, and we're going to cover them next week. So I'm going to dismiss you a little bit early. I knew somebody would be happy. And we're going to pick it up, because I don't want to rush through it. These next two are really important. I don't want to rush through it. I want to take the time that we need to look at and cover them. And so we'll pick it up next week, and we'll finish it next week. And sometimes that's how it goes. I'm not sure how that first half hour evaporated, but it did. Okay? So today, the point is, we need to be willing to make sacrifices for the sake of the mission. And I trust we're all willing to do that, because we're not sacrificing for a cause. We're not sacrificing for an organization. You know what we're sacrificing for? Our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave no less than his entire whole life so that we could be saved. And he is worth making sacrifices for. Let's stand together as we pray. Well, Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be your own, that you have placed this church here in this part of the city to reach people that are around us, that are in our city, that are where we live and work, the people we run into every day as we just go about our normal everyday business. And Lord, would you give us a heart and a passion to understand how great this mission is, that we might be committed to it to the point where we are willing even to make sacrifices to make it happen. And when we do, you will bless us, Lord, and we will see the gates of heaven open and the blessing of God poured out on us as we are able to do your work in our world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.